welcome to the call. So glad to see many of you. Hi. I see some people I haven't seen before and others that I have.
Well, it's good to see you all. Welcome.
So in case you're new on the call, I'm Linda, and you probably recognize Gary. And we're really looking forward to being on the call with you. I see, I see several new people. Well, hello everyone. I hope you had a most joyous holiday and beginning of the new year. And we're gonna be talking about something really exciting. We talked about it on the 21st, on the winter solstice. We talked about how to live an optimal life. And we realized that was part one of that. And now we're doing how to live an optimal life, part two.
Let's set our intentions, beloved.
Let's do that.
What do you think?
Yes, I'd love that. So right now we're going to set our intentions. So I'm going to ring the chime and we'll all set our intentions together. So let's do that now.
This is a time to remember why you are here, why you've joined this call, really why you joined this call, and to see what you can contribute to it.
I love that intention, and I love it because when you say that, a lot of times when we're a participant somewhere, at least I used to always look at what can I get from this. But really what we're talking about is how can you contribute? Of course you'll receive, but how can you contribute as we're all on together? So I love that. So thank you for that intention.
You're welcome, beloved. I try to do that in my life. Sometimes I forget, but that's a frightened part of my personality that's looking at something else. Last month, we talked about the winter solstice and how to create an optimal life, part one. If you recall, the winter solstice, which was on the 21st of December, is the day when the darkness is greatest and the light is least. In other words, it's the day when it is the date when the day is longest and the night is shortest of the year. And we talked about the obvious symbolism that most people have of a time of darkness and little light. A time maybe of despair or of loneliness or of grief or of illness. And then we talked about how many moments in your life could be that kind of a winter solstice moment and how holidays with families can create that kind of winter solstice moment or many winter solstice moments of that type. When you have to challenge frightened parts and reach for and cultivate loving parts, when you're with in-laws or you're with family and you're not getting along with some of them. But then we also looked at the winter solstice from another perspective. From this perspective, which is really the more accurate one, the winter solstice is a time of culmination. It's a time of completion. What's completed is a cycle, and the cycle that's completed is a cycle that began with the summer solstice, which happens in June. At the summer solstice, everything begins to expand, and it grows, and it grows, it blooms, it blossoms, it bears fruit, the grain is harvested. All of those things happen following the summer solstice. Yet, in the summer solstice, something else is happening, but it's not visible. It's a contraction. And that contraction completes itself at the winter solstice, when animals and seeds are in deep rest, and everything is compressed into one seed of potential. That's the winter solstice. And at that very moment, the cycle completes itself. Energy reverses its direction, and an expansion begins. An expansion that will continue until plants break through the surface of the soil, which means break through their lives that were hitherto unconscious, that begin to grow in the light, that begin to bloom, and that begin to bear fruit. All of that happens. The beginning of all of that happens. The energy of all of that expansion begins at the moment of the winter solstice. So we looked at the winter solstice that way too. And the same question is a good one. How many winter solstice days like that does your life bring you? When you realize that a cycle is complete, the energy is reversed. Instead of coming in, taking in, bringing in, you begin to want to give out, to share, to expand. So that's what this call is about, how to create an optimal life, part two, January 2020.
I was thinking maybe we might want to hear a little bit about some of the things that happened during the winter solstice time and the holidays. I'd even like to follow up on some people possibly from last time if they'd like to share. There were a few people that spoke, and I'm just curious about how things went during your holidays, or other people that feel like you'd like to share about how you saw that you had winter solstice moments with your family holiday over the holidays, and yet you handled it differently. Those are the kinds of things that I'm really curious to hear a little bit about before we go into the main part of what we're going to talk about. So just take a moment and see if there's anything that could be shared right now where you just felt so good about how differently you're handling things with family or in other situations that came up in the last, since we last talked or lately. So I'm going to just open it for a moment. So just, if you want, and close your eyes to see if there's anything there. And then could someone share how to raise your hand once we've done this? I don't know who's doing that today.
Hi, this is Gail. I can share.
Thanks, Gail.
Yeah, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon. Okay, to raise your hand, on your phone, press *9. That'll raise your hand. And on your computer, go down to the bottom of the screen and see the participant icon. Click on that icon and a menu will pop up, excuse me. And at the bottom of that menu on the left-hand side is an icon of a green hand. Just click on that and that will raise your hand.
Great. All right. So now you know how to do that. And go ahead and just be with it a moment and see if there's anything that you want to share that just feels so good to you about what happened over the holidays. It's different than before. Go ahead and do that now. Okay, I'm going to ring a chime and go ahead and raise your hand if there's something that you'd like to share right now with us. Go ahead and do that. Maybe I need to share first.
All right.
I'm thinking maybe I need to share first. So interesting, what happened this holiday, our family was here and they come every holiday, usually summer and Christmas time. And this time they came both at Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is not usual for them to come to our house on Thanksgiving. So they had just been here at Thanksgiving and then they were coming again. And very interesting thing happened. Gary and I were traveling, and when we got back, I noticed that I wasn't feeling very good. And so by the time they arrived, I realized that I'm going to really need to be quiet and not do anything. And usually I'm doing many, many things. Usually I am very busy making sure everything's good for them. And I realized that I couldn't do any of that.
We know this is caretaking.
Well,
you probably recognize some of it as caretaking.
I knew about that, but I didn't realize the extent of it. And so I made the choice not to do anything, just to let them do whatever they needed to do and take care of themselves. And they took care of us too. And it was so amazing because I didn't realize the extent of how much I was caretaking before that time. And it was so beautiful to watch what happened because everything was taken care of beautifully. I didn't need to do anything. I just rested and took care of myself. And then I had this intention that I was going to talk to them about some things that I'd been noticing about myself. And I knew that the time would come. I didn't know when. And so one morning early, they both were in the kitchen and it was like the perfect time. I couldn't even believe what happened. One of them was complaining in a frightened part. It was a really strong frightened part. And I was able to just speak about that in a way that was just so amazing because there was openness. And so in that openness, I was able to talk about what I was noticing. And it was just a beautiful experience. And from that time of that frightened part becoming so active, and it had been for many years. I mean, I've noticed it for a long time. But this time, there was such an openness that the whole rest of the trip was so amazing because we were able to speak about things that were important. And then something else happened where some of the family got sick. And because they couldn't do the things they usually did to caretake, it made them look, oh, look what I always do. Look at how I always am and how I really enable, they would call it that, enable behaviors instead of really letting people find their own way, like for instance, our granddaughters. And it was beautiful. I'm just so grateful for that opportunity. And how much I learned from all of that and how what a different kind of a holiday it was for me. So I wanted to share about that. So I want to call on Mary. Hey, Mary, I remember you were telling us about, I believe, your sister. Love to hear what happened.
Well, I was hoping to have wonderful things to share. And I think that I handled things quite well as far as more being aware of, I guess, the intention of creating harmony. But someone else had a conflict that was huge. And it kind of threw me off, but you know, at least I was happy to say, well, I got through it. So it did kind of throw me, but it was enough that I was able to say, you know what, Mary, you did what you were intending to do in that you were seeking to create harmony.
Yeah.
But I think also, Linda, I appreciate you sharing about the caretaking because I know you have shared before about pleasing people and today you were talking about caretaking.
Yes.
In the past you've talked about pleasing others.
Pleasing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually would call it pleasing what I was doing, but it's a family. It's the same. Gary said caretaking, but it's the same energy. It's the energy of fear where you are afraid that someone won't care about you or will abandon you, at least for me, if you don't do those things. that you're usually doing. So, yeah.
Well, I think what happened as a result of mine is that I've been listening to the book Heart of the Soul.
Yes.
And I wasn't even aware, but I was, the next part of my chapter was the part of pleasing others. And mm-hmm. It's like, wow. Because what ended up happening was, even though I got through the weekend with my sister without a lot of turmoil in myself, I still became aware of the fact that I was still trying to please her. Mm-hmm. And it's been enlightening, but I actually had a little question that I should bring up today is, because I find sometimes I have this balance between wanting to please others and wanting to create harmony. So I don't know, I was hoping that maybe you could address a little bit, I know you mentioned sharing, so I did want to say overall I was pleased with the work that I'm doing is bringing results. This morning I was saying, am I growing? And I go, yeah, as long as you're working on this, you're growing, Mary.
So Mary, one thing I would say, first, a couple things. One I would say is when you say, am I growing? You can look at where that comes from in you. Is that coming from a fearful part of your personality or is that coming from a loving part?
Well, it's coming from fear because I'm afraid I'm not. Because I think when I read your book, it's a process. It takes time, but when I still feel turmoil, it's like, oh, I'm still pleasing people.
So it's a process, and it's a process that you're in every moment of your life. And what happens is you'll find yourself pleasing, and then a frightened part will come in and say, well, you're not growing. There's something wrong with you. You should know better by now, and all of that. And so all of that comes from fear too. Those are perspectives of frightened parts of your personality. So they need to be challenged too, as much as the pleasing needs to be challenged. Both need to be challenged. And when you said the difference between pleasing and harmony, well, harmony comes from you feeling harmony in you, no matter what anyone else is doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter what reactions they have. It doesn't even matter if you are having your own reactions. Your harmony that you can have in any situation comes from you knowing that you are doing your best to create with love. That's where that comes from. And we're not saying don't be kind to people. We're saying look at the intention for why you're doing whatever you're doing. Always look at why are you doing it? Are you doing it so that other people will like you or not abandon you? Or are you doing it because you really want to? Because you really want to do something kind or loving or generous with someone. And that's a very different thing. So it's always looking at, is the intention coming from love or is it coming from fear? And when the intention is coming from love, you're going to feel harmony inside. Feel that. Even though frightened parts may come up, you're still, you know, going to feel harmony inside yourself. So those are a few things that I want to say about that. And it is a process. It's a process. I mean, how long have I been working on this? A long time. But I don't really look at it that way. I look at it as I've had very strong frightened parts that want to please or caretake people. And I continue to work on it. I continue to see it more clearly. And with my family, it's, and I think for many people, it's the strongest.
Yes.
I mean, if they don't love me and they want to abandon me, what do I do? You know, that's probably the part that would think that. But that's not really, and it was so interesting when I couldn't do anything. And I was laying there and they were saying, and I was sharing with our family. I said, you know, I really had to challenge the part of me that wanted to please you and wanted to make sure that, you know, I made meals and did the things that I usually do. And they said, oh, you never have to do that. We don't, we want you to just be here, and we want to take care of you. You know, so it's like what my frightened parts were afraid of wasn't at all what was going on for them. So that was really enlightening to remind myself that my love, that it's not anything they have to say. It's not anything they need to say. It's something I need to know inside myself. So anyway, I think that's all for that. Mary B, it's a process. It's a process. And everything's not going to be perfect all the time, of course, because you're a human being and we're on the earth, and that's why we're here. We're all learning all the time. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you again about that. So, beloved, I'm wondering if we should go into the second part of why we were really calling today, talking today about optimal life.
Of course, yeah. Of course. So what is an optimal life? An optimal life enables you to give the gifts that you were born to give. And the only way you can give them is without second agendas, which is what Linda's been and Mary have been talking about. The intention of giving without second agendas brings up all the agendas of the parts of your personality that are self-benefiting. And as you unearth them and experience them, you free yourself from the control that they have over you. In other words, the idea is not that you can become emotionally aware and all of the emotions that are painful for you to experience will disappear. It doesn't work that way. You can't tell yourself, I'm not going to feel sorry anymore. I'm not going to be depressed right now anymore. I'm not going to be angry anymore. Because there you are in grief, depression, or anger. But are you going to be controlled by it? If you're frightened of it, if you don't know what it is, the answer is yes. But if you have developed emotional awareness and the courage to use it, then you're able to experience whatever that painful emotion is. Experience it somatically, which means in terms of physical sensations in your body. You can start with your throat and your chest and your solar plexus and see what it is you're feeling when grief or depression or anger are present in you. After a while, you won't need to use those labels because you'll know what they feel like. You don't need a label. You'll recognize them in a different, much more intimate way. And after a while, when you feel those dynamics inside of you and you decide, you choose consciously not to act on them, and instead to reach for the healthiest part of your personality that you can, which might be one that's grateful or caring or appreciative or patient, then you eventually begin to move beyond the control of that frightened part of your personality. That means it still comes. It's still painful. It still has the same thoughts. But you can recognize them instead of being swept away by them or swept up in them. You can recognize it as something familiar that you've experienced in the past. And this time you are growing more and more proficient in recognizing it and not letting it control you. This is the creation of authentic power. It's a combination of emotional awareness, which is the kind of awareness that I just described, and also making a responsible choice. A responsible choice is a choice that creates consequences for which you're willing to assume responsibility. So you know, if when you're depressed, if you curl up in a natal position in bed and you don't get out, you already know what's going to happen. You're going to cycle down and down and down into that painful, endless pain. People aren't going to be connecting with you anymore or you with them if you don't challenge anger when it's present.
So I want to go back to depressed. Right? So when you use that label depressed, what you're saying is frightened parts of your personality that have experiences that we call depression.
Exactly. And it's the same when I use a term like anger. It means a frightened part of your personality has become active and it has experiences that most of us call anger. But these dynamics are internal. They are not caused by the outside world. They are activated by the outside world. But when that internal dynamic, whether we're calling it a frightened part of your personality that's angry or depressed or grieving, when it becomes active, it is painful. And when you challenge it, you're not challenging the outside world, because it's not coming from the outside world, it's coming from in you. It's always been in you, and it will continue to be in you and continue to control you until you have the awareness and courage to use that awareness, emotional awareness, to challenge it by not letting it control you, and instead reaching for the healthiest part of your personality that you can while it's active in you. This is the creation of authentic power. And as Linda has said many times, it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's not an event. And as you do this again and again, you become more and more aware in your life and more able to distinguish between what energy you you want to create with and what energy you don't.
I was, when you said that optimal life enables you to give the gifts you were born to give, but the only way you could do that is if you, if you're giving without a second agenda. In other words, if you're giving from love with no attachment to it, and you keep doing that over and over and over again, then you begin to create the optimal life. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
And this, if you
is where
don't
we,
do that,
this is where we started this call.
Yeah.
Living an optimal life also benefits others.
Oh.
Did you think about that? Most people think an optimal life is living a life of joy, pain-free, carefree, joyful existence. And it is. That's authentic power, or the ability to create that when you're not feeling that. But living an optimal life also benefits others. You can give the gifts that you were born to give. That's optimal for you. But as you do, realize that others are waiting for the gifts that you have to give.
Mm-hmm.
And they're accustomed to experiencing you in ways that you've been with them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've been shut down or shut off. Maybe you've been angry or meek or attempting to please. Maybe you've been friendly as you're trying to manipulate them, or withdrawn as a way of manipulating them. But they are waiting now for you to step into your life with love and harmony and humbleness, because that will reflect back to them what they are, and show them what they have to give. Just as when they do that for you, they show you the same things in yourself. You will inspire them when you step into your life, when you live your life without frightened parts of your personality creating your agendas for being together.
Mm.
When your agenda comes from your heart and it's joyful and it's to give, you will inspire them, just as their wonderful responses to the gifts that you give them will inspire you.
Mm.
This is an optimal life.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah.
So as you look at the winter solstice as a time of darkness, as a time of emotional pain, time of disconnection, time of despair, a time of little meaning, you can see it as an experience that is simultaneously offering you the opportunity to move in to expansion, to move in to where the joy and the energy is. And the joy and the energy is never, constructive energy is never pulling into yourself. That's what a frightened part that we've been calling depression is. You're sucking energy in. This frightened part of your personality is sucking energy in. I know about depression because I spent some of my life there, and it's ineffably painful.
You had strong frightened parts that would have those experiences. Is that right?
That's
and you
it.
Didn't understand they were frightened parts when you were experiencing that, though.
Yes, and there's one thing more.
Mm.
I thought those experiences were my experiences. But once you become emotionally aware.
When you say, what do you mean by that? You thought they were your experiences. Can you explain that?
Well, so what is it you don't understand about that?
Well, I wanted to ask you because there's some brand new people on the call and I want to make sure that they understand.
Thank you. Well, for you brand new people, and also for you people who've been on the call before and this might have slipped your mind, what it means is this. When a frightened part of your personality becomes active, and you're not aware of it for what it is, a part of your personality, then you think this anger, this grief, this judgment, this jealousy, this joy is coming from me. It's coming from the unchangeable ground of my being. But that's not the case. It's coming from a part of your personality. And once you realize that, once you can distinguish between the parts of your personality, some painful, some joyful, some loving, some frightened, then you can begin to choose among them. This ability to choose gives you the ability to create real power, which means move beyond the control of frightened parts of your personality. Parts that, before you realized they were parts, you thought their experiences were yours. I hope this is clear now. For example, if you're not aware or you forget that a frightened part of your personality is angry and it becomes active, and you forget that it's a frightened part of your personality, you'll feel that you are angry.
Or you are overwhelmed.
Or you're overwhelmed, or you're stressed, or you're anxious, or you're jealous. But when you remember that it's not you, it's a frightened part of your personality, or a loving part, you can then challenge it if it's a frightened part, and that's what we've just described, or cultivate it when it's a loving part, which means make a note of it. This experience of joy, this experience of satisfaction in connecting with another person, soul to soul, and that means in a way that's meaningful and effortless, like Linda described, interacting with our family. Benchmark that. Realize that is a loving part of your personality. And you can remember it, and you can reach for it. You can go back to it when you're in a frightened part, and you don't want to stay there, and you don't want it to control you. All of this is the process of creating authentic power. It's the process in which you are involved. It's the evolutionary modality of our species now. The evolutionary modality of our species used to be merely surviving, and surviving required pursuing external power, manipulating and controlling. Now we're on a different path. Now our species is on a different path, but everyone in our species has got free will. So you can choose to stay on the old path, but that's got some serious downsides. Number one, it's destructive and it's painful. That's one and two. As you challenge it, you begin to move into another dimension of creation. That is creating with the loving parts of your personality, or at least determining with all of your free will not to continue to create with a frightened part of your personality. So this is what creating authentic power is. It's not really that difficult to understand, although it's new, it's very new.
It's also what's required to create the optimal life.
Yes. It is required to create an optimal life. In other words, these are different terms for the same thing. Creating authentic power is creating an optimal life. Experiencing an optimal life, a life of meaning and joy instead of emptiness and pain, is creating authentic power.
Yeah.
They're identical.
Exactly. You know, I think what I'd like to do is do a little exercise right now with everyone.
Let's do that now.
So if you can, close your eyes, if it's safe. If it's not, of course, don't do that. But what I'd like to do is have you close your eyes for a moment, like I said, and go ahead and do that. Just be with yourself for a moment. Just see what comes to you. Just notice what you're feeling. Notice what you're feeling in your body right now. It's always good to check all the time what's going on in your throat area. Physical sensations in your chest area. Notice if there's anything in the whole chest area notice if there's anything in your solar plexus, your abdominal area. And that'll help you to know whether there's frightened parts or loving parts active in those places. And that's really important, but we'll go into that more another time. So I'd like you right now, though, to recall a time when you've been changed, even if for only a moment, by the generosity or the humbleness or the love of another person. It could have been recent or it could have been some time ago. Just let it come to you. And then ask yourself, what made that moment special? What did you experience in that person? Were they humble or generous or compassionate? See what comes to you, what you noticed about them. Just let yourself experience this time again. Go ahead and do that. Open yourself to new insights about this experience now. Like, what does it mean differently even now than the first time you experienced it? Okay, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Still notice what you're feeling in your body. And now take another deep breath. And when you do, open your eyes and see what there is for you to share about this experience. Now just see what there is. And so when you see what there is that you would like to share, go ahead and raise your hand. And you know how to do that now. In fact, could you remind people again just what they need to do to just in case they came in later?
Yeah, sure. To raise your hand on your phone, press *9. And from the computer, at the bottom of the computer is a icon that says participants. Click on that. A menu will pop up. And in the bottom left-hand corner, there's a green icon of a hand. And click on that, and that'll raise your hand.
Great. Thanks again, Gail. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do that now. And as we're talking, you can raise your hand at any point. And other things may come up besides what we talked about, what we're talking about here. So I'm going to take a few hands that were already raised, and it may not be about what we're talking about now, but please feel free to do that so we can all join in together and contribute to what we're doing here together. So I'd like to call on Pam.
Yes. Hello. Hi, everyone. Hi, Gary and Linda.
Hi.
Hi, Pam.
Hi. I actually was going to talk about something that I thought was a little different when we first started the call, but from the perspective of what you were just talking about, Linda, I think there's a lot of that in the same experience. So over Christmas, all of my family was here. There were 17 of us, and we had a wonderful time. They were all mostly leaving Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve, we were fixing dinner. And my son and one of my daughters have a lot of frightened parts around how my husband and I are handling our business that we've developed over the years. And our son is part of that business. So my daughter has her own ideas about over the years. And so my son started talking about it, and pretty soon there was a lot of frightened parts happening between the two of them, which absolutely triggered some frightened parts in me. There were frightened parts that were angry that they were bringing this up now. There were frightened parts in me that were unhappy, that were concerned, that were just, I mean, there was a bunch. But I knew they were frightened parts because I was having a lot of pain in my chest. So I did the best I know to do, which was really to look at what was going on with me and just do my best to act from a loving part. And I did that. I just said some things to both of them that I thought needed to be said. And then we kind of went on with our dinner, the dinner prep. Well, my daughter left, and which is unusual for her. So I waited, and I thought, well, should I go talk to her? I didn't want to caretake her at all. And so, but I went to where she was, and she was in a really big frightened part. She was crying and very upset. But what I was able to do, which has just brought such joy into my life because of the things that have happened since then, is really support her, that what was going on had nothing to do with her brother, nothing to do with our business. And it was something that if she chose to, that could be really supportive in her spiritual healing. And I've shared a lot with her over the years, and she's read Seed of the Soul. So I feel like she did just that. And the beauty of that was that I know in the past I would have gotten into the frightened part mix, trying to caretake them or make things better or be angry or whatever. I have done that over the years. But what was so beautiful is that she came back up from where she was. She was in the basement in their bedroom, and the energy was really different. And since that time, she wrote my husband and I a beautiful letter that really says, you know, that she wants to, I could tear up. I'm so touched by it. That she really wants to look deeply within herself, and that she was so appreciative of the support. And it was just such a, you know, and the love that the thing I took from the meditation was that the love that she has shown by using her courage and wanting to heal herself and our family, I mean, it just so inspires me to really know that this is why I'm here. This is, you know, part of the work that I'm here to do. So it was such a touching, beautiful experience. So I'm just so grateful.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Pam. I mean, I can feel it. I could feel myself tearing when you were talking. Just even before you said that, I felt that, because for me, that's such a joyful when we're creating, when we're doing our best to create authentic power and supporting others in doing that, if they want that, without attachment. And then what beauty can happen from that? It doesn't always happen, but that's not really the point, is it? It's really it's really about you being in your own integrity and acting from love, even though you knew there were frightened parts of you that had been active. You didn't want to act from them.
Yeah, and the point of contribution, I mean, I don't know that that's a deep enough word to express what I really wanted to contribute to my family. I mean, on a deeper level, not just on a level that makes our business work better, on a level that makes them feel better. I mean, it was so much deeper than that. So that's the beauty and the joy of contributing and doing, you know, supporting in a way that I know to support from love. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, Pam. You can use the word contribution just like you would a road sign that's got an arrow pointing one way or an arrow pointing the other. And one road sign, it's the direction that energy is flowing. Contribution means it's flowing from you to others with a loving intention. That's important. Mm-hmm. It can flow from you to others all the time, but if it's in fear, that's not contribution. But energy flowing from you to others in love, that's a wonderful feeling. And the other, well, maybe in the market, that would be consumer. Consumer. That would be energy flowing from others to you, where you want them to focus on you. A frightened part of your personality wants them to focus on you. So I understand what you mean when you say contribute. Sounds like a shallow word. But we're talking about energy, and we're talking about a distinction, which is the fundamental dichotomy in the Earth School. And that distinction is the difference between love on the one hand and fear on the other.
I thought you were finished.
Oh, I am essentially, contribution comes naturally from love. You don't have to think, I'm going to contribute now. It just does. You see something that can benefit someone, and you know whether or not that's appropriate in that moment. You look at how you can be in the world positively, constructively, and appropriately, and from love. All of that goes into what we've been calling contribution. And all of those are synonyms for optimal life and creating authentic power.
I think sometimes maybe what you may might have been saying, Pam, is that some words just can't, there are no words that can really express what we're actually feeling, the experience of it. And I think that
happened. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go over that sometime, maybe in one of these calls. But what you're talking about is the limitations of logic that the five sensory humans use. It's a linear logic. And it has only one purpose, to assess the value of everything that the five senses provided in terms of survival. What's valuable, what's not. That's five sensory perception and the intellect. They go together just like this. And as we become multisensory, which we are on this call, that is being replaced with a higher order of logic and understanding of the heart. And we'll go to that sometime. We're actually always talking about it, but we can talk about that on a call. Mm-hmm. We certainly talk about it at the events. And
the authentic power emerging events and at the journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as you begin to appreciate and recognize the higher order logics and understandings of the heart, you move beyond that limitation of the intellect. The intellect can never express or grasp multisensory perception. It's not designed to do that. It cannot do that. But your heart can, and it does. And that's where the language and the understanding is coming from now, that can encompass the deep richness and meaning that comes as you enter your life with awareness and with the intention to use love rather than the intention to use fear.
So I'd like to call on Randy now. Randy?
Hi, Randy.
You had something, you had your hand raised? Hi.
Yeah, I raised my hand a while ago.
And
I think it's very relevant to what we're talking about now still. I have a friend here, and you know, Gary, what you're talking about with contribution, what I'm studying, what I'm trying to develop in me is to be more aware of what are the higher frequency energies, kind of getting into the chapter on light, that I can see that are available to me right now. And when something comes up, that's what I'm looking to choose from. And so getting back to why I raised my hand, I've got a friend here who has a part of his personality that teases. And I recognize that the universe brought him to me because I've got a frightened part of my personality that reacts to teasing, immediately assumes it's a criticism. Mm. And then I go into this frightened process of I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to try to fix something. I can feel this itch, this pressure in the chest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels existential. It's deeper in me. Mm-hmm. And so he comes over, and it was just a little thing. It was handing him a glass of water. And he makes a comment, his frightened part, which I was perceiving as a frightened part, made a comment about, oh, thanks for the ice, dude. And so I felt that right away in my chest. And the first time this happened, I just logged it. And I just said, I'm not gonna withdraw. I'm not gonna let my frightened parts pull me back. I'm gonna lean in. Mm-hmm. And so the next time he came, I had a pitcher of ice water for him. And so he recognized that, and he said, you know, thanks for bringing this water. We had these meetings. And then not 3 minutes later, there was something else that he did, his behavior, the same behavior. And, oh, I felt it right here again. But this time I recognized clearly. It's like, no, I'm not going to caretake him by bringing the next pitcher of ice water. I'm going to thank him and the universe for this part of his personality that's exercising the heck out of what I'm feeling here. And when I did that, I could feel my energy shift up. I could feel it. I could feel a warmth happening. I could feel myself leaning in. I could feel him leaning in. I could feel the distance contracting. And so all I did, the contribution I made, was to do this work so that I can even recognize it's in me, that I have a choice to make here. And through the conversation, something had come up about I'm doing spiritual work. I think I told him that Roxanne and I are planning our move. And he logged that. We had a meeting about business things. And at the end of the meeting, he came back and said, I'm really interested in hearing more about your spiritual work. And he actually brought it up twice. So now I can feel now we're having the soul-to-soul connection. And he actually introduced it so that after our last get-together, he went home with our copies of the spiritual guidelines and the partnership agreements, mm-hmm. because he had asked me for them. He knew that it was safe to ask me, what are you studying? Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like I was teaching or evangelizing, which is a frightened part of mine that keeps me from sharing these gifts. So this whole thing opened up. We even had a conversation that he initiated about becoming aware that frightened parts of his personality may be his language of affection. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have to try to teach him that. When we were just talking, he said, I think this might be going on. I'm going, wow, none of this would happen if I had stayed in the lower light energy so that we were two personalities navigating frightened parts. It happened because both of us were committed to something more profound.
That's beautiful, Randy.
That's powerful, Randy. That's so beautiful.
Really, it is.
Teasing.
I had goosebumps when you brought this topic yes. up today.
Everything depends on intention, even teasing. Teasing usually comes from a frightened part of the personality, which is pushing away intimacy. For example, I once offered a friend a glass of water, and a friend took it and said, water is sacred, mm-hmm. before he drank. So everything is intention. And what you've described is you transforming your life in the moment, real time, with someone. And from what you've told us about him, he has a good heart. He wants to grow in awareness. He wants to grow spiritually. He doesn't. And he sees that you might be able to share some things that could be helpful with him. And that's the important thing to stay focused on, not a frightened part of a personality that comes up. Unless that part activates a frightened part of your personality, then it's you that needs to be the focus of your attention, that part of your personality.
Yeah. So thank you, Randy. That was really wonderful. And I was thinking about when we did that little exercise, even though no one's really exactly spoken about that, I think the important part about that is when you experience something special that happens between you and another person, and you notice their qualities, notice, you know, like whatever the quality is that you couldn't recognize, that just a reminder to you that you couldn't recognize that quality unless it were in you, unless it were a loving part of you. And so that's really important to notice, because sometimes we need someone from the outside showing us that, not only showing us frightened parts that we're reacting to because we have our own frightened parts like that, but also the loving parts of our personality that we see in someone else that we just feel that so strongly a connection with someone that or something that happened. And so to remind yourself too that those are times that you can remember that they're showing you that something special about yourself, and to know that when you're leading an optimal life, whenever your intention is to do that, whenever you're creating authentic power, you do that for other people. You show them things about themselves that they aren't seeing because they get caught in their own fear and they don't even know they have a choice. So you're really benefiting others when you create authentic power, when you create an optimal life for yourself. And I think that to me is such an important part of what we're talking about today. And I want to just say, We're almost out of time, but I wanted to see, is there anything that anyone would like to share now before we get off the call that you feel it would be important? Maybe you're new and you just like to say hi because you've never been on the call before, or maybe just a brief something that you would feel like would really be good for you to say, just to let people know I'm here and I want to let you know I'm here. So go ahead and we'll just take a moment to see if there's anything before we complete the call today. Okay, if there is anything,
yes,
go ahead and raise your hand. And oh, I see someone has raised their hand.
Marjan.
Hello, Marjan. I see you. Yes.
Yes. Hello, Gary. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
Hi. I would like to say to you both, and hello, everyone, actually. I wanted to say to you that I'm calling from Holland. And dear Gary and dear Linda, I'm very grateful to be here, to be here today. And I know your books for many, many years, for two decades almost. And I cannot find any word to describe how much I'm just grateful for everything that I'm learning from them. And just this morning, I thought by myself, about the gratitude that I feel inside. But I had a question. I questioned those thoughts and feelings, because part of those came from the fearful parts of my personality, and I was not conscious of those thoughts. So I think I have some kind of mixed feelings with exciting. I'm very excited to be here. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Marjan. And have you read the Heart of the Soul?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because you can always go back to your emotional awareness when you have mixed experiences like this, and know that if any of your energy processing centers have painful physical sensations near them or in them, then you know that a frightened part of your personality is active. And mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Even if you're excited, right? Well, I mean, you can be excited about something, but still a frightened part can become active, and you can just note it. Oh, well, look at there.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's why emotional awareness is very important. For example, Randy mentioned someone who said Randy thought perhaps that the language of fear, teasing, was his way of connecting. But if he's using his emotional awareness, once he develops it, he'll be able to tell exactly where is that energy, what is the energy he's using. Is it an energy of fear or an energy of love? Love does not hurt. It just doesn't hurt, ever. And fear always hurts, always. So emotional awareness is a wonderful tool. Your body will not lie to you. And of course, sometimes you have different experiences and different energy processing centers, and you can begin to sort those out. And of course, the experience of a splintered personality is very common, where you have one part of your personality that wants to do one thing from fear, like give a homeless person tell a homeless person to get a job, and another part of your personality wants to interact from love. For example, to stop and say hello and chat for a moment. And then as this is the common unconscious experience of someone who's less conscious, but as you create, as you create authentic power, you become like a laser. And this disconnect between parts of your personality becomes less and less as you challenge the frightened parts and move beyond their control. And you cultivate the loving parts and invite experiences of love into your awareness. This is the path you're on. And I'm so glad you're on the call, Marjan. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Linda and I have enjoyed many wonderful moments in Holland.
Oh, also, great.
Yes, in small towns and also in Harlem, as well as Amsterdam and the larger cities. So we so appreciate that you're calling.
Indeed.
And hope to see you again.
Thank you. Me too. I also want to add something more about myself. I was not born in Holland. Originally, I was born in Iran. And from my 17, when I was 17 years old almost, we came here with my parents, actually with my mom and with my sister. So I have two different kinds of backgrounds.
Yes.
So that, you know, thank you.
Yes, and you can see in your experience how universal creating authentic power is.
Yeah.
It is way beyond culture. Cultures produce beautiful things. Rumi, for example, is one of our favorite poets, who was Persian, or now Iran. And so creating authentic power has no boundaries. It has no boundaries at all. It is the evolutionary modality of humanity, and not with a man in the middle of it, put a woman in the middle of it too. It is the evolutionary modality of our species. It is a change, not in our history, because history is his story, but in our story. We have a new our story now, and we're beginning to live it consciously. And as we do, we live it more powerfully, which means more from love and less from fear. But thank you for joining us today. We're honored to join you. And it's a pleasure to be with you.
And with all of you. Thank you so much. And I want to say that we're going to end the call now, but I want to say that we are thinking next month, we might, I know Timmy's here. I see Timmy's here on the call. We might be talking about how you create boundaries. You know, what are our boundaries good to create, and why or why not? We may be doing that. Yeah. On our call,
what are boundaries?
On February 1st.
What are boundaries?
Yeah.
And what purpose do they serve?
Exactly.
Look into that deeply. Do they serve love? Do they serve fear?
Indeed.
Often it takes some sorting out to come to the bottom of that.
Indeed.
And we can look at that.
So we may look at that. We may look at that in February 1st on our next call. But if you have other ideas for things you'd like us to talk about, be sure that you write us at lifeschool@seatofthesoul.com and just put subject line topic for call, Life School call. And we'd be happy to spend a whole hour on a particular topic, just like we did today. And it's just been a real joy to be with all of you. What a wonderful thing to do at the beginning of 2020 to be with all of you. It's really beautiful.
So before we end the call, we're going to activate, unmute everyone's microphone so that we can have a moment to tell one another goodbye and happy new year.
Yeah, but first let's just take a moment together as if we're in a big circle. So let's just be together in a circle with each other. Let's do that now. So wonderful to be with you. I'm going to ring the chime and then we'll unmute everyone and we can all say goodbye to each other. Blessed, joyful 2020 to all of you, beginning in 2020 and throughout the year.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye.